Great. Got one great. Only one, who knows. But no, welcome. It's good to be together. It's good to gather. And just kind of last couple weeks we've been talking about eldering, and so just kind of want to bring everybody up to speed on where we're at in this process. And I want to read, if we can bring up 1 Timothy 3:1, says this. This is one of the leadership passages, eldering. And here's what Paul says in verse 1. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. And so part of what God invites for men to be spiritual leaders in the church. And so it starts with, do you have a desire? And so the last couple weeks we've heard from Matt and we've heard from Carl. He's teaching. It's a good thing. Or what heard his blood pressure go? Matt and Dave. And so they've expressed that desire. And so then, part of this is there's a process of discerning. What is God saying? The truth is, and right after these verses, the qualifications to be an elder is character. It's not your experience and this and that. It comes down to godliness. God wants shepherds that are not perfect but have been redeemed by Christ and to serve humbly. And so part of the steps of the process, there's been things that have been going on that you haven't been known about. Back at the end of September, Matt and Dave, we kind of sat down with the scriptures, a couple of the guys from here, and just kind of looked and said, hey, looking at these character qualities, here's what we see in you. We know that no one is perfect. I'm not perfect. But is there a pursuit of the Lord? And so that time, and all of us as elders have been part of that time, it's very humbling. But on the other side, it's very encouraging. Because one of the reasons we're in community with one another is because other people see things in us that we maybe don't recognize. And so that was an encouraging time. And then after that, Carl, one of the other deacons, and myself met with Lisa and Anna, just as wives, to say, hey, what's your input here? I think Matt kind of shared Anna's input last week in his testimony. And that's part of that process as well. And then this last Monday night, some of you may know, may not know, but we're a family of churches. There's two other churches, a Zion in Clarion and a Zion down in Petroleum Valley. And we have one overseeing eldering team. And so part of the process is to meet with those men that were there. And so that was Monday night, and just hearing encouraging things. And again, part of this is to discern, God, what are you saying in the process? And so that is an important part. And so part of this now is to invite the body into the process. This is where you can be part of this process. And part of that is you've been praying, you've been encouraging, and so we want to continue to encourage you to do that as you pray with us in this process. But part of this is, in our, when we set up kind of the constitution, and we just said, hey, there needs to be a 21-day period. And so this is always the joke, the 21 days. And so the 21 days is for the body to pray, and also, hey, if there's something that someone knows about one of these men that we don't know, this is the opportunity to say, you know what, we want to listen to the Spirit of God, and we don't know everything. And so part of this is a time of testing, and what we all need. And so we're kind of putting that to the body here this morning. And so over the next 3 weeks, you can either talk to myself, if there's something that you want to, you can talk to myself or Carl or Rudy as well as a former elder. And again, and this 21 days is not, I don't like Matt's hair. It's not that type of a thing. It's not a petty thing, but it's character things. It's things that you say, hey, I look and say, needs to be grounded back to Scripture. That's where we want to listen to what the Spirit of God has written and recorded for us. And so And then basically after 3 weeks, we will have the covenant members. There will be a formal affirmation vote. I never like using that word vote because we vote on other things, and this is not a democracy in the sense. We listen to the Spirit of God, and we make decisions listening to Him and in process with one another. And so we pray. And so let me pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you are at work in lives, that you are at work in our lives, that you're at work in Matt, and that you're at work in Dave's life. And Father, just for us as a body. And so, God, we want to listen to you. And so, God, I pray that you would lead us over these next couple weeks, Lord, that this would be a season of seeking you, a season of listening to you, a season of allowing your Spirit to move in us as a body. And God, as we focus on these two men, Lord, we also want to focus on all of us. We are all part of the body of Christ. And so, Father, help us to be leaning into what you're saying, leaning into what you're doing. And God, following you. God, that we would be an encouragement to one another, that we would speak words of truth. And God, we pray that over the next couple weeks, Lord, with these two men, but Father, also with one another. God, that we would be an encouragement to each other. And that we would have a sense, God, of your presence and a sense of your hand. God, we want to do things your way. It's your church. You're the one who laid down your life for her. And you want to make us a radiant, holy body of believers. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to do that. And God, we thank you, Lord, for all of these things in your name. Amen. I'm going to bring another verse here, and we're going to share this verse this week and next week. Let's read this verse together. First Thessalonians 5:18. Let's say it together. Give Very good. And so he doesn't say, give thanks for our circumstances. He's saying that no matter what your circumstances are, we need to have a thankfulness. We need to have a thankful heart. And so in our pause and prayer time, we're going to give opportunity to do that, to just thank the Lord for whatever that might look like this morning. We're going to get there in a minute. Before we get there, Monday morning, because the roads closed out here, and so I had to come around, and as soon as I came up around the Methodist church, I had one of those, I forgot moments, and I saw the flags, and I realized, I am so sorry, I forgot to acknowledge our veterans, and so I want to start by saying, I am sorry for not doing that this week, but so we're going to redo that today. And so, and again, if you've served our country in any way, in any fashion, and so why don't you just go ahead and stand up? We want to say thank you as a body. Go ahead. Very good. Go ahead and stay standing. We don't usually do our greeting time now, but we'll go ahead and take a moment to greet. You can say thank you to one of these men, and just take a moment to greet one another, okay? Go ahead and do that. All of you. You can turn around and you can greet. You didn't even know there was people behind you. I was going to talk low. Is that on? Is the mic on? I don't like to turn around. Yeah. All right, so we're going to kind of transition now to our pause and praise. And let me read this verse again that we just, 1 Thessalonians 5. It kind of comes in this whole line of commands that Paul is giving, that we need to act on these things. And so he says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And so it's always God's will to be thankful. And I know it's always a little tension, coming up front. So I asked Oliver, he's going to be our roving mic this morning. You don't have to come up front, because I know some of you are like, "I'm not going up front." But if you bring the mic to me, it's always important to be able to hear. Not everybody has their full hearing, and so we want to hear one another. But just to give the body the opportunity, hey, what are you thanking the Lord for this morning? If you want to share a story, whatever that might be, but just in that vein of being thankful. So you can just kind of wave your hand, and Oliver will sprint over to you.
I won't go that fast.
Okay, that's true.
Hi, as many of you know in here, or a few of you anyway, I was in partnership with someone in a handyman special, and his name and my name were both on the house, and he literally abandoned it halfway through. So I was really overwhelmed, and I prayed, and my good friends told me, "I need to get a lawyer." So I finally did that. Well, that was a year and a half ago that I did the lawyer. And so I just received a message from the lawyer. What they did was the sheriff in the county that he was living in tried to deliver the letter, and they couldn't find him. And then it had to go into the paper several times. And then he had 20 days to answer that or to fight it, and they didn't hear from it at all. So I heard from the lawyer on Friday, the house is going to be in my name only. So they're taking his name off the deed. So it will be mine. But it's still a handyman special, so I could use a couple handymans. I'll pay you. It's not that. It's just that there's some things that need to be done, not right away, but maybe in the spring or something like that. But God was so good. I put it in the lawyer's hands, and I just let go and let God and lived my life. You know, I didn't fret over it. I didn't. I just knew that God would do what was right. So I thank God for that. Thank you.
I shared last week. I wanted to share two things. I could only remember the one. And as I sat here, I said, "God, why can't I remember the second one? That's the most important one." But I couldn't. But this week, God gave me a song. And maybe there's somebody here within the sound of my voice that needs to hear this today. The song he gave me is an old gospel song. The chorus is, "He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole." Back in the early 2000s, I was having some problems, and I was taken to Pittsburgh Allegheny General. And after all, a bunch of tests, Daryl and I sat across the desk of the neurologist, and he had this computer screen in front of us, and there was my brain. And the computer screen started slicing off my brain. And then we saw it. There was a little pea at the bottom of my brain. And then the computer kept slicing more. And then there was two more down deep in my brain. One was at a 90-degree turn. And of course, they talk surgery. And Daryl and I asked him, you know, well, explain more to us. And he said, probably I'll get off the table. Perfect. Slight possibility I won't get off the table. Another possibility is I'll get off the table, but I won't be me anymore. So on the way home, Daryl and I were talking, and I said, I choose not to worry about this. This is God's problem, not mine. He knew the minute I was born, the day I'm going to die. It's in his hands. I'm not going to worry about that. And we went back and forth to Allegheny General for about 10 or 12 years, twice a year to spend the day going through tests and talking to the doctors and stuff. And one day, I rebelled, and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not planning on doing anything about him anyway. I'm not doing anything anymore. Well, then several years later, more problems came up, and my doctor here wanted me to go get the brain scan or whatever that test is. And when they read the results, he said, we only see one aneurysm. Well, instead of me saying, praise God, you're healing me, I said, the guy's stupid. He doesn't know how to read it. And then I just refused to go get another one again. So then a couple weeks ago, my doctor sent me for another one. And I sat in front of her desk, and she said to me, there's none. There's none there. I had three, and then I supposedly had one, and now there's none. So I am here to say, I received my healing from Jesus Christ. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole. Amen.
Anyone else? Last chance. Last call. Till next week. Thank you. Let's continue to these next couple weeks. Be intentional of being thankful. And talk about what the Lord has done. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the ways that you're at work. And God, sometimes the ways that you work, you heal, you restore, you give what we ask for. And other times, God, you're the God who doesn't. And you know best. And so, Father, we just come acknowledging, God, that no matter what our circumstances are, as your word says, we will continue to choose to thank you and praise you because you are good and that you are faithful. And so, God, help us to choose to do that, Lord, when we don't feel like it, that we would choose to be thankful, that we would look for and ground the things that you have that you are doing and have done. And so we thank you and praise you, Lord, for that. God, I thank you for each of these shoeboxes that have been brought in. And God, we know that every one of them, there is going to be a set of children's hands that are going to receive these boxes. And Father, I pray that you would go above and beyond just the physical domain of the things that are inside. But God, you know their name, you know their circumstances, you know what is going on. And God, you went to a cross to die for their sins. And so, Father, we pray this Christmas that some of these children, some of these boxes, that, and we don't even know where they're going to go, but God, you know those things. We just pray that you would use them to bless children and families and communities with the good news of Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life when he didn't need to, but he did it for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us this season, Lord, as we approach Thanksgiving, as we approach Christmas, Lord, that we would be listening, God, to your voice, to your Holy Spirit. God, that you would help us to be your hands and your feet. And whether it's doing something that's physical in nature, maybe it's saying something encouraging or directly sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, Lord, God, whatever your Spirit is leading us to do, help us to be following and listening and doing what you're calling us to do. God, that we would have courage, that we would have faith, that we'd be on our knees. God, that we would be giving to others in ways that only you could get the praise and the glory. And so, God, we just thank you, Lord, for all of these things and praise you for your faithfulness. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, open up to Galatians. We're going to turn into chapter 5. And so he's going to get into the real practical part of the book. And we see this a lot of times in Paul's books. There's a theological part, which is kind of, you know, our thinking. Our thinking's got to change before our behavior changes. And so here he's kind of turning the corner. And we're going to look at the next couple verses here in Galatians 5. And he's going to talk about freedom. That's what Christ is all about. Christ has set us free. But as I was thinking about it this week, I'm just thinking of the difference between, you know, when you're a child and when you become an adult, and however you define that. But for those of you who are adults, you know, you think back to when you were a kid and what your life was like. And you remember when you were there, you're kind of like, oh, man, I got to do the dishes. My life is so horrible, right? When you're a child, you think, you know, hey, parents have all this freedom, and they make us do all these things. I can't wait till I'm a parent, you know, I'm an adult. I'll have all these freedoms, right? Is that what you're thinking? And then you get to be the adult, and you go out to your mailbox every day, and what do you see? You know, there's bills in there. Yeah, well, yeah, freedoms, all kinds of freedoms that we have, right? And so we live in a country, you know, that was built on freedom and independence. And I think even freedom can get lost. We can get lost in what true freedom really is. And freedom is not the ability to be able to do what I want, when I want, and where I want. That's not freedom, even though that's what we would think freedom is. That is not. Freedom is the ability to be able to do what God has designed us to do. That's what freedom is. There is no independence. We don't live by ourselves in this world doing what we want. That doesn't exist anywhere. We sang that song earlier that Jesus is Lord. Every human being will answer to him one day, whether you believe in him with all of your heart or you say, you know what, I don't believe any God exists or anything in between. There is no such thing as being able to do what I want when I want. That doesn't exist. And Paul is tying that down in this passage. That's what the gospel is all about. Christ has set us free in the good news of Jesus Christ. Not free to live the way I want, but free to live the way God has created life to be lived in relationship to the Most High God, in relationship to the living God of the universe, to become like him. And that's what he's saying in this passage. And so let me just read down through here, starting in Galatians 5, verse 1. He says this: "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision count for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. So go back to verse 1. He gives a command in here, and he tells us how this command is possible. The command in verse 1 is stand firm. Stand firm. Stay committed. Stay committed to what? What do we need to stand in? That Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, that Christ has set us free. He has set us free, that we don't have to keep living a life in slavery to sin, that we don't have to keep living a life in our own strength and in our own power and trying to figure it out on our own. But the good news, the moment you put your faith in Christ and begin that relationship with God, he has freed us from trying to earn God's approval. He's given it to us in Christ. And so that's what he's saying here, that we need to stand firm in that liberty that we have, that now we can live life the way God has created us to be lived, not because we have the power, but because Christ made it possible. We have freedom. We can now do what God has asked us to do. We can walk with him. And we're going to see in this chapter, just because we have freedom doesn't mean we always use freedom for the right thing. And so we're going to kind of wrestle through that. And that's really what the walk of faith is all about. There's moments that I don't feel like doing what I should do. There's moments that I don't do what I should do. But Christ has set us free. He wants us to live free in himself. This isn't a new thing. You can either listen to the, here's a couple verses that Jesus said back in Luke chapter 4. Verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Jesus is quoting here from the book of Isaiah. And this isn't a new concept. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim what? Freedom or liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The reason Jesus came was to set free. That we don't have to keep living a life disconnected from God. We don't have to keep living a life in our own strength and our own power. And that's what Jesus says at the very beginning of his ministry. That's why I have come. Turn over to the book of John. Here he said it in another way. John chapter 8. He's in another argument with the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and he basically says to them, you know, you religious, you know, you keep following the law, and the bottom line is you're in slavery. And they say, well, we're not in slavery. Because, see, they didn't get it. And here Jesus puts it real plainly in John chapter 8, verse 34. He says this, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. And here's what he says. So if God the Son, Jesus Christ, sets you free, you will be free indeed. And he's telling them the truth. He's telling them the hope. I have come to set you free, not to live under the bondage of the law, but to be free in me. To obey Christ, to obey me for who I've said. Turn back to 2 Corinthians, one other verse here that talk about liberty, which is what he's saying here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17. And just the point here, what Paul is saying about where Christ has given us freedom, this isn't a new thing. This is what Scripture is all about. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Again, not to do what you want. You don't need God to do what you want. You can do that by yourselves. We need the Spirit of the Lord to obey and to follow the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. That's Paul's point. That's the hope of the gospel. That's what Jesus came to do, to set us free, to enjoy him, to walk with him, to delight in him, to become like him, to do what he wants us to do in the moments that you feel like it and the moments that you don't feel like it, to have that intimate relationship with the living God of the universe, to walk with him and to know him. And that's what he was saying. Christ has come to set us free. Well, if you look down, go back to Galatians, he tells us another thing. What does that look like? What does that mean practically? And he says it at the very end of verse 6. He says this is faith working through love. And so he has set us free to that we would be walking in love. But before he says that, look in verse 5. He says, For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. And so what is he saying here? He's saying that, you know what? In this life, as we walk with Christ, we're not going to see it all today. We have a hope to become righteous, to become more like Christ, but we're not going to see it all until we keep fleshing this out. There's a hope there. There's a longing there. And we should be able to see our progress. We should be able to see our movement. But our hope is to become righteous, to do the right thing with the right motivation. And that's what he's saying here. That's what our hope is. That's what Christ has set us free to do, to have a heart change, to have a life change, to become like him. And then in verse 6, he says, only faith working through love. And so our world talks a lot about love, right? Now you just need to love everybody. And those things are true. The truth is, we cannot really love unless we understand God's love. And that's what he's saying here. Faith working through love. Faith that is sourced in the living God of the universe. That relationship that we have with Christ is a relationship of trust. So we listen to his voice. We obey what he's asking us to do. And so we see that vertical relationship. We see it practically in the way that we love other people. Well, what does that mean? Well, I think we have to go back to how does God define love? Turn back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. Do we listen to God's definition? And these couple verses here, whenever you're saying, you know what, I'm loving this person, or I'm, you know, this is the passage you can hold up and say, am I really loving them? You look at these characters, it's not as simple as, well, I feel mushy about this person, or I don't feel mushy about this person. Here, God tells us what love, how he defines love. And I think this is the connection that he's making of faith working through love. Faith is listening to God and doing what God has asked us to do. And so that means loving the way that he loves. Look in verse 8, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Love never ends. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 4. Love is patient. Notice he starts there. So if we're really honest, guilty, right? Love is patient and it's kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. So what is he saying? There's a holiness to love. Love does what is right. And we only know what is right because of what God says is right. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. And so God's love is a committed love. God's love is, I'm with you through the high times and the low times. I'm not going to give up on you. And so as we walk with God, exactly what Paul is saying, faith working through love means that we will love like he loves. We will be committed to one another. We will speak the truth to one another. We will be patient with one another. And when we don't do those things, we're the first one to be honest about it. And so that's what Paul is saying here, that we're free to have this faith working through love. Our relationship with God is seen by how we interact with one another. It reveals how we're really doing. Because it's God's our source. And so that's what he's saying to us. And so go back to Galatians in the passage here. And that's what Galatians chapter 5. For in Christ Jesus, neither, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. And so that's the practical part of what God wants us to be doing, that we interact with each other, that we love one another, that we do that as a church, we do that in our family, we do that in our marriage, we do that as parents and our children, we do that in our workplace. When you have people that aren't easy to love, aren't easy to care for, and you get frustrated. And that's where it always has to come back to our relationship with God. God knows and understands. Jesus walked on this planet. He knows what it is to walk with human beings. He knows how we can be. He knows how we can act. And so in that process, and what he's saying is that we have been set free to live this way. And so I think that's our challenge, to live it out. And that process of living it out is the process of becoming righteous, the process of, God, you got to refine me. I'm not as patient as I want to be. God, you got to change me. We're going to see this next week as he talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of walking with him, that moment-by-moment decision of being surrendered to Christ and walking with the Spirit, walking in his power. And so we have that opportunity. But it all comes back to the blood of Jesus Christ. It all comes back to what Jesus has done for us. That he has made the sacrifice. That he has paid the price for us. And so as we enter into our next time of worship here, we're going to sing that song. I'm going to ask Matt to come up and the worship team as we sing this next song about the blood of Christ. It all comes down to what he has done for us, what he has given to us to make that freedom possible for us. Let me pray. God, we thank you so much that you have set us free in Christ. With Christ, we are free. Without him, we are in bondage. And so, God, I just pray, even here for this morning, Lord, that you would help us to see you for who you truly are. God, if there's someone that is here that is deceived, thinking that they are free, but they're really not, God, that you would open their eyes. That you would help them to understand your love and your care. God, that you would help us to walk out our faith and our trust in you in love. Spirit of God, I pray as we sing these songs that you would bring to mind or places where we need to live that out. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you for all of these things, Lord. In your name.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
That you paid for us. And we count it as a privilege now as we can give back a portion of what you have given to us with a cheerful heart and in thankfulness for what you have done through your blood, Lord. So as we pass our bowls this morning for tithes and offering, we just remember that everything that we have comes from you, and we're so thankful. Amen. All right, we're going to pass the bowls. Why don't you stand up and we will sing one more closing song.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Father, we thank you that you have set us free. God, as we walk with you this week, help us to remember that in Christ we are free. We don't have a burden to bear. We have a Savior to walk with. And Father, I pray that wherever we go this week, that you would help us to emulate, to allow people to see what walking with you looks like in the circumstances of life. God, when things are going well, but Father, also when things aren't going so well, that we would be real and authentic and let people see who you are and what you've done. And so, Father, we thank you for all of these things and that you are faithful. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.